Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune, Morning Advocate, Matthew Paris. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And one thing I can say, the Saints always make this offseason eventful, right?
They have, you know, even when they're apparently quiet and not supposed to be spending, they still manage to find a way.
Matt, two things I took out of comments from Dennis Allen. The first one, the news on Ramczyk was not good. That's not certainly what we had heard around the combine time. But if you go back and listen to Ryan's comments when they had put him on IR, he seemed a little bit sort of cryptic about the injury, that it was pretty bad for him. And then you got a little bit of good news. But now today, the only good thing about it is this is a draft class loaded with some really good offensive tackles, talent and depth. If you pick the right guy here, I would not rule out another position because Dennis Allen, I'll give you the second quote later, but offensive tackle. Now, man, if I'm Andrus Pete, I'm like, hey, I know you had a certain price you wanted to pay for me, but hey, that might have went up after today.
Right. No, for sure. I mean, those are all really a valid point. I mean, you know, with signing Chase Young too, that kind of rules out at least edge rusher in the first round for me. Now, I know he has his own injury history, but I don't think it's nearly as severe as what Ryan Ramczyk is dealing with. It was actually very surprising because, you know, just a few weeks ago, as you kind of alluded to, Dennis Allen referenced and said that the Saints felt much better about Ryan Ramczyk's knee. They said that he had an off-season procedure and was able to feel better. But since then, I guess they've met with him, and he's not nearly making the progress that he wants to. So, you know, when you look at this draft, yeah, there are tackles there. J.C. Latham from Alabama, he's probably the best right tackle if they wanted to directly replace Ramczyk's replacement, or define Ramczyk's replacement.
Matt, we sort of broke up. We'll get Matt Paris back on with us. His cell line sort of broke up. Do we have him back on, Charlie? Okay. Matt, go ahead. You kind of broke up with your cell line.
No, it's so I was just – where did I cut off? Sorry.
It's talking about Latham and to me, Latham and Fuago on the right side. Those are the two best right tackles in this draft class.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's just a matter of, you know, I think at 14, though, you know, if there's a left tackle there, I think that's kind of maybe the more pressing need. I think you'd always rather have a left tackle, a premier left tackle, than a right tackle. And maybe you hope that you hold out hope that Ramczyk's able to make some sort of recovery. But I don't know, it didn't sound great today.
No, and it doesn't sound good long term because – even if he would come back, I mean, you don't know how much longer he can go. One of the things that has changed throughout the years in covering the NFL is used to be a big difference, left tackle, right tackle, and kind of how you viewed them. Now today, the way they move the defensive ends, outside linebackers, you're not necessarily having the best pass rusher go up on your left tackle. Sometimes because of a mismatch, they think the right tackle is easily beaten, so they move him on the left side to go up against your right tackle. So I think there's a little bit different look on when you look at a right tackle and a left tackle. And for this team today, they need help at both areas, at left tackle and right tackle. And so it's an opening there. The second part was Dennis Allen talking about, I think somebody asked him about possibly adding a receiver, and he talked about bringing in Cedric Wilson and as part of the mix. But he didn't talk about adding a wide receiver. He said pass catcher. So Charlie and I were talking about that. Listen, I can read that real good. Brock Bowers, I think, is maybe that pass catcher if he would be there when you would make that selection. Because when you kind of do the numbers of the four quarterbacks going, the three receivers going, I think the two edge rushers, Jared Verse and Dallas Turner, will both be gone. That's always a surprise pick, and I think probably a couple offensive linemen gone. You could see that possibility that the tight end kind of gets pulled a little and kind of kicked back. It isn't like last year when they had so many of them. This year, there's Brock Bowers and the rest of the group. But the term of pass catcher caught my attention because I think I knew exactly who he was talking about.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I think Bowers will definitely be sitting there at number 14 unless, you know, a team wants to jump up or something to grab him. But I can't see someone it just seems more likely than not that he would be there just because of exactly what you mentioned, you know, four quarterbacks in the top 10, a run on wide receivers, an offensive lineman or two off the board. That, you know, the Saints have the 14th pick, which in a normal draft, I think would maybe be kind of a lesser pick, or, you know, it's just a so-so pick. I think in this draft and with kind of just the team needs and everything, it really plays into their advantage of kind of where they are at.
I think what happened over the weekend with Legarius Sneed, and God bless him, I've known him since he was in high school. He came to a couple of our camps when he was at Minden High School. He was playing a lot of receiver there, and then he turned into a terrific cornerback. And what you had to give up to get him, man, the Titans stole him. Jesse James, man, he had to put his life on the line and jump the train. And, you know, for that robbery, they got him for a third and a seventh round swap of picks. And you getting a guy who's one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL for a third round. My thing is, if that's what top corners are going for, whatever I got to do to make amends with Marshawn Lattimore, I want him on my team. Because a third round pick, you don't know what you're getting. I know what I got with Lattimore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of feels like the Saints are maybe at that place. I think it's still pretty early to see what happens there. I don't think if they were to trade Lattimore, I don't think it would happen until at least June 1st anyway, just because of the way you're able to massage the cap hit. But you look around the NFL right now, and it's not just, you know, Legarius Sneed. It's, you know, Jalen Ramsey went for a third round. Now he was a little bit past, he's still in his prime, but it wasn't like the Jalen Ramsey trade from a few years ago. But, you know, you factor in Marshawn Lattimore's injury history of missing games in each of the last two seasons. I think a team that would want to try to acquire him would want to try and do so, you know, at a lower price rather than give the Saints what they want. I don't necessarily think the Saints have great leverage there to demand a ransom for him. So, I could see, you know, if you're the Saints and you're thinking about it, well, is it worth it to trade him? Well, you know, I don't think the compensation would be particularly strong at this point.
Matt, I think one of the things when you look across the board, there are numerous needs on this football team, offensive line. We talked about adding another pass catcher. I think a sneaky need for this team would be at safety. Now, I'm not sure if they go with a veteran safety or they draft one, but I think it's a need. It would not surprise me if they used a kind of out-of-the-box pick. I'm not talking about round one, but if they used an earlier pick, say around two or one of the fives, safety to me would seem to be that way because you're playing multiple safeties today in all this nickel dime coverage. Marcus May's gone, and I think there's a hole there for that safety position, or maybe they feel as though the market is so bad for safeties today. Man, last year it wasn't that way. They were getting paid. Now they're not getting anything out on the open market from a safety standpoint. That if you can get the right price for a veteran on a one-year deal and maybe draft one a little bit later.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think they feel like they've not solved it, but, you know, they brought back Jonathan Abram on a veteran minimum deal. They brought back Ugo Amadi. I know he plays more of the slot, but he's a safety option technically as well. And they're going to allow Jordan Howden to compete in training camp for that starting spot. And, you know, he is also a fifth round guy that you mentioned, yeah. Like that they have three, comp picks in the fifth round this year. Maybe that is a spot that they look at, but I think they feel okay about that position right now. And you do look at the market. There are so many veterans available. I can't believe a guy like Cam Curl went for, you know, 2 years, $9 million. Like that's a great price.
That's a steal for I'm telling you, last year, I mean, all these safeties, they were looking at $9 million, $10 million plus starting safeties. Today, you're lucky to get $10 million on a 2 year deal.
It's the inverse of the running backs.
Yeah, exactly. And this year we saw the running backs, they got paid.
They got paid.
And
quick,
last year they wouldn't, you know, it was kind of bargain basement.
Well, and remember, you know, the Saints just redid Tyrann Mathieu's contract to where, you know, they lowered his base salary too. They actually aren't committing that much to that position. So I kind of think they maybe agree with the rest of the NFL where they can just get by not committing a lot of resources. And, you know, for the Saints, they had to clear money to get cap compliant and, you know, free up some space of what they wanted to do. You know, reworking his contract was a way to do it. And, you know, you just look at that position, overall, they aren't really committing that many resources there.
Matt, one of the things we saw today, and Charlie and I talked about it yesterday, I'd heard they didn't have enough votes for the new kickoff rule. They finally, you know, twisted a few arms and maybe had a few lollipops to drink during the night, so to speak, and made it work. First time I saw it in the XFL, I was like, man, I don't know. This doesn't look right. And you sort of got used to it after a while. Who would you think, or do you think they look outside the mix here for a kickoff guy? Because they have a punt returner. He's one of the best in the business in Rashid Shaheed. But do they have that guy that could be your kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Rashid Shaheed on kickoff just to see whether he could do it. You know, that's one of the things Darren Rizzi was talking about today is that because this is a shorter distance and, you know, hopefully less of an injury risk, that you could see the return of premier players, you know, kicking back in the return game and stuff, or, you know, really emphasizing that sort of speed. It seems like, you know, if they want to give Taysom another job, that he would maybe be that second returner.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Taysom. I wondered about that too. That certainly would roll into my head that I would like to see him in that, because you know that initial shot of everybody lining up together and hitting the field hard, once you break out of that first lane, man, you got some open field.
Yeah.
Nice to break out of there.
Yeah. One of the things Rizzi mentioned too was that, you know, that second returner that's going to be on that line, they have the option to kind of run reverses and do those sorts of things. And so, you know, I think Taysom has experience kind of doing those sorts of things. So I actually think it makes kind of sense for that. I joked with him, Rizzi, that, you know, it sounds like another role for Taysom, and he just laughed. So.
Yeah, Matthew, I want to circle back around to the Andres Pete conversation that we were having earlier. Just your thoughts on this whole situation with the offensive line. If you're looking in the draft at 14, we already talked about a couple of different guys that could be there on the offensive tackle side of things. The right tackles are mostly going to probably be there unless maybe Olufoshanu falls there from the left side. So that's a good replacement option. There's also going to be some tackles taken in the second round. So, you know, maybe Brock Bowers, if he's there at 14, you go Bowers at 14, and then at 45 you take a tackle there. Maybe Jordan Morgan. I know, Mike, you like him as from Arizona. But that's just a couple guys. But at this point, with Andres Pete, I mean, what do the Saints do? Trevor Penning's the big question mark here because you don't know how he's going to develop.
What do you do with him?
Yeah, exactly. What do you do with him? Do you kick him inside to left guard, or do you leave him at left tackle and move on from Pete? That's a big commitment to someone like Penning, who so far has not really shown anything. So, you know, with Pete, you know, they have their set number that they want to give him. But do you now go up in price to bring back someone like Andrus Pete?
Yeah, I mean, they don't strike me as a team to really break off from, you know, they have their price and they're going to bend at least, you know, maybe others would disagree, but it just doesn't seem like they kind of bend like that as aggressive as they are in the draft. It seems like they're kind of disciplined in free agency to a certain standpoint. With Pete, it's interesting because, you know, he had that visit with the Tennessee Titans. That didn't really go anywhere. He still remains unsigned. So he's still out there, but they also signed, you know, Ali Udo for offensive line help. They gave him a 1-year contract. Now, the other thing Dennis said today that I'm sure you're aware of is that he doesn't necessarily see that as a one-for-one replacement and that they would be interested in bringing back Pete necessarily, but it just kind of depends what happens and what his market is.
Yeah, because, you know, with the Titans, I mean, the Saints got offensive line issues, but, man, do the Titans have offensive line issues. Good Lord, because I do some stuff with them in draft time and also pregame, and good gracious, their offensive line's been atrocious the last couple of years there. And that used to be the strength of their team, but that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Matt, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for all your insights.
Anytime. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Matthew Paris, Saints beat writer for the Times-Picayune, Morning Advocate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.